So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. State Senator Pat Teston of Stevens Point represents the 24th Senate District. He's one of the few Republicans taking a lead saying that Wisconsin should legalize medical marijuana. In a statement, he talked about a very compelling personal story that we'll get into. Senator Teston, welcome back to Wisconsin.
Thanks for having me.
You issued a statement saying we should legalize medical marijuana. And the majority leader then said, not going to happen. Why did you issue that statement?
So this is a policy position that I've been very vocal about, and a bill that we had been working on going back to last fall. And then early on this session, I reached out to Senator Erpenbach and Representative Taylor and said, you know what, I know you guys have worked on this in the past. Let's work together on this. Let's make this a bipartisan issue and see if we can't craft a policy that we think would be in the best interest of Wisconsinites here in the Badger State. Now, for me, it's a personal story, as you alluded to. So back in 2000, my grandfather was diagnosed with
Blair Teston.
Blair Teston.
And I've been in the Capitol long enough, so I remember your grandfather. He was an expert on the state's retirement system.
Yep.
But it's your story. Please finish it.
Yeah, so he was really one of the real reasons why I wanted to get involved in state government. So back in the year 2000, diagnosed with bone and lung cancer. It was a terminal diagnosis, and he fought as hard as he could, but he basically withered away. But he had to make the tough decision to go outside the law and go get marijuana, because it was the only thing that gave him his appetite back and kept food down. So I am thoroughly convinced that it gave him time that he otherwise wouldn't have had. But that story is not unique. That's a story that we have heard from countless individuals, not just throughout my district, but throughout the state. And so I think the time has come that we have this conversation. Now, I understand that Senator Fitzgerald, he came out in opposition to this, and Senator Fitzgerald's been very consistent in his position and his skepticism of this, and I respect that. And he and I have had some great conversations on this topic, but for me, I believe firmly in this policy, not just from my own personal story, but from stories I've heard from other folks throughout the state, especially in my district. And so I want to have this conversation. I'm going to continue to educate and advocate for this policy with my colleagues in the Capitol.
Your grandfather was diagnosed when? 98, 99, or what?
Yeah, it was in the late 90s. And so,
He passed in 2000?
Yep, yeah. It was actually November 1 of 2000.
You were 11 or 12 years old then.
Yeah, I was in 7th grade, and I'll never forget the day. So we got the call late on Halloween night saying, you should probably get down here. He's only got maybe a day or so left. And so we hopped in the car and drove from Marinette down to Middleton. And we were there at his bedside, along with many of my cousins and aunt and uncles, and we were there when he passed. So, I mean, it was great to be there. It was one of those moments that you never forget, but I know that's a story that has been shared and experienced with a lot of folks here in the state. And so when you take a look at the national trend, I think you've seen a large appetite within the public at large who are taking a look at medicinal cannabis as an alternative form in modern medicine.
Well, how long did your grandfather use this then still illegal product, Pat?
Yeah, I think it was over a year.
He did.
Yeah.
Do you know how he got it? Did your parents?
I don't know all the particulars.
Did your parents help him obtain it or anything?
I think there were some folks in the family that helped him. So my parents they still live up in Marinette. And so we had some family down here, and I think they probably helped procure the medicine that he got.
And so your takeaway from that is what?
Is that it was beneficial for him. And that's why within the bill that we released, we have conditions in there such as cancer, HIV, hepatitis C, chronic pain, PTSD, and many other conditions that would qualify, because based on reports that we have read from places like over in the EU and other places, and just the testimonies from people that have reached out to us, that we want to make sure that this is going to be available for individuals who could potentially benefit. Now, that's not to say that this is going to be a silver bullet for what ails you, but this is a decision that should be made between a doctor and a patient.
Maybe just one more question on your grandfather. He was a career public servant?
He was.
So what lessons did he teach you and impart to you about public service?
One of the biggest things he instilled in me is that to have an open mind, to listen to people, always treat people the way that you'd want to be treated. And that's really carried over with me. And one of the primary reasons why I even have a service flag in my office to this day is just a reminder to kind of lead by his example. And that's something that, you know, I try and live up to every single day. They're big shoes to walk in, and I know when folks that have come to my office who have worked with him in the past, they speak very, very highly of him even to this day, which speaks volumes to his character.
Senate Republicans caucused on their fall agenda. Did this issue come up, sir?
It didn't come up. You know, as you're probably well aware, and many people out there, that I'm kind of upstream from my caucus on this issue. And, you know, I respect all my colleagues within our caucus. And they don't agree with this policy for a number of different reasons, and I respect that. But for me, I'm going to continue to try and make the case and encourage people to reach out to their state representatives and state senators and share their stories of how this could potentially benefit the state.
Do you think there's some Republican legislators who quietly would support this?
I think there are. And I think when you take a look at some of the statements that have been made, especially from Speaker Voss, I think there's more of an openness to explore this idea within the state assembly. And we just have to see if there's that momentum and we can find that consensus to put together a policy that can gain the support of the majority in the assembly and see if we can make the case in the state senate.
The governor in February recommended both medical marijuana and laying the groundwork for recreational marijuana. Speaker Voss said by twinning those up, he hurt the cause of medical marijuana. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. And on the issue of recreational use, I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet?
Nope. And I know that, you know, a lot of the advocates that we've worked with, I mean, I think that's their end game and the ultimate goal that they would like to see recreational marijuana here in the state. But I'm just not there. I know law enforcement has a lot of concerns with that. And so I think it's going to, we just have to wait and see.
What about the concerns of law enforcement on medical marijuana?
You know, I've had a lot of conversations with law enforcement officials with my own district. And when this issue gets brought up, I ask them, what are your thoughts on medical? Many of them say, we don't see it as a big deal. Now, we haven't had conversations at large with some of the associations, like the Badger State Sheriffs, for example. We haven't had those talks yet, and so we'll see. But that's one of the reasons why within the legislation that we worked on with Senator Erpenbach and Representative Taylor, that it's rather restrictive and make sure that we have those safeguards in place to ensure that, you know, we're not going to have illegal operations here in the state and that it's regulated.
Talk to me about that bill, because you've heard the term slippery slope. That's not my term. And you've heard the speaker say, I do not support marijuana, that would lay the groundwork for it to be available on, quote, every street corner. So what are the mechanism, the details of your bill that would prevent that?
Yeah, so basically how we have it set up, so there would be a stringent, a very restrictive license that growers, processors, and dispensaries would have to go through. You have to have indoor grower operations. You have to be licensed through the state. You have to have background checks. You can't have a controlled substance violation for more than 10 years prior on your record, mm-hmm. similar to what we did with the industrial hemp bill. Now, I don't want to try and conflate those two and kind of meld those. We're trying to keep those separate, but we took a lot of what we learned working on the hemp bill and applied it to this, but added some extra protections within that bill. And then additionally, we also have a registry for patients. So they have to get a recommendation from their physician, and then they have to apply to DHS and get an ID and go through all those processes to ensure that this is a valid use for that particular patient.
Would there be penalties for a patient who obtained the card, was able to get medical
yep.
marijuana, but then sold it?
Yeah, we have penalties within the bill to ensure that there's not any misuse of these substances.
Would your bill be patterned after medical marijuana in any of their, what's the number, 33 other states allow it now?
Yeah, I think we're up to 33 states now. And when you take a look, especially to some of our neighbors, so Minnesota has a medical cannabis program, Michigan has a medical cannabis program now going to recreational, and then Illinois had medical, and I believe on January 1 will go recreational.
Talk to me about the next steps. Have you talked to Speaker Voss about a potential hearing? Because as you said, there appears to be more support in the Assembly. Speaker Voss has indicated, I'm willing to talk about medical marijuana, like you, no to recreational marijuana. So do you have hope that there might be some progress in the Assembly now that your leader has said it's not an issue that for the fall session?
We haven't had direct conversations with the Speaker's office on this proposal. I don't know if he has different thoughts or ideas or if he's crafting his own, but I'm certainly open to sit down with him and see if there's an opportunity here for us to work together and craft a consensus bill. I think the bill that we put out there, it's good policy, it's a good bill. And what's fascinating about this, Steve, so we started drafting our own bill last fall, mm-hmm. and then when I reached out to Senator Erpenbach and Representative Taylor, and we got in the same room and we kind of looked over each other's drafts, we were pretty similar. Now, there are some areas where we were a little further apart on, but I think we did a really great job working together with our respective staffs, with Ledge Council, with Reference Bureau to put together a thoughtful policy position that I think is a great starting point to have this conversation and try and move the needle.
But you don't have an expectation that there will even be a public hearing on the bill in the Assembly?
It's hard to say. It will depend on where the bills get referred to. So it's still out there. We haven't had an official bill number yet. I know if it gets assigned to the Assembly Health Committee, I've had conversations with Chairman Sanfilippo, who's not a supporter of the proposal and has questions about it. So it's hard to say if the bill will be heard. I would love to have it heard because I think the last time this bill, a similar bill was heard back in, I believe, in 2009, it was a long debate, but I think that debate has dramatically shifted within those 10 years.
A cynical reporter, me for example, might say that because of the public opinion polls show that this is popular, you're lining up on an issue that you know won't pass because you're up for re-election next year. How would you answer a cynical reporter?
You know, anyone who's been paying attention, even going back to 2016, knows that I've been upfront about this. I've shared my family story. I've had conversations with a lot of folks within my own district that I'm a supporter of this. And so the reason why it was released when it took a long time to finally get everything aligned to a point where we were comfortable with what we had put together, and now it's out there for the public to review. And really, this is an issue that transcends party lines. I mean, yeah, people can reference the referendums that were on both the April ballots as well as last November, mm-hmm. but this is an issue that both red and blue counties alike have supported. And so I think the time has come that we continue to have this conversation and try and get ourselves in a position to adopt this down the road.
You mentioned your grandfather's personal, powerful story. Are you hearing stories like your grandfather's from your constituents in the 24th District?
Many stories. In fact,
it's fairly widespread, or does that overstate it?
It is widespread. In fact, I just had a meeting with a constituent in Stevens Point yesterday who is in the financial institution business, and she has stage 4 cancer, and she was very supportive of this proposal. She wants to see it happen, and she wants to do anything that she can. And also conversations that I've had with various folks, veterans in particular, have come up to me at various town halls and events and pulled me aside, and they talk about their experiences and some of the struggles that they've had with opioid addiction from the VA, and yet the only thing that gives them relief is medical cannabis. And when you think about it, Steve, these are men and women. They've gone overseas. They've served their time. They come home. Some of them have scars that are visible and some that are not. And now we're asking these brave men and women to go out and commit an illegal act to get the only medicine that gives them the relief that they desperately need.
I'm sorry to hear about the woman that you met with who has stage 4. Is she now breaking the law by using medical marijuana?
I didn't ask that question, but she is, more power to her, because who are we to say that if you're in a situation like that, that you can't go out and get the relief that you possibly need. More importantly, I think this is legislation that falls in line with actions that we've taken in previous sessions. When you take a look at Lydia's law, the ability to go out and get CBD oils to help with seizure disorders, or the fact that we passed the right to try legislation last session that was adopted by the feds,
right,
where if you're terminally ill, you can go out and try experimental procedures to help give you that comfort at the end of your life. And so for me, this is compassionate policy that is in the best interest of the people we represent.
Your public statement said you believe that using marijuana illegally extended the quality of life of your grandfather. So let me give you the hypothetical. If a loved one that you knew of was suffering with the same diagnosis and the painful treatments, would you help he or she break the law?
I would do what I can to give them the relief that they need and the support that they need. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we worked on this bill, is because of not just my family story, but from the testimonials that we've received and from folks all across the district. And for me, when in those types of situations, it is heart-wrenching. to hear those stories. But more importantly, it's heart-wrenching to see a loved one just basically wither away in front of you. And so I would do what I have to do to provide for my family.
Well, I did some research. The average age of your fellow Republicans, excluding you, is 56, 57. You're 31, youngest member of your caucus. Is this a generational issue, Senator?
You know, I think to some extent it is, and I think you've seen that. So, you know, 10 years ago, I would say the vast majority of folks within our party would say, no, they don't support it because of the stigma that's attached to cannabis. I think you've seen a dramatic shift in recent years, and in conversations I've had with some individuals in the building that, you know, they put these questions on their surveys that they send out to constituents, and, you know, they're coming back overwhelmingly in support for medicinal use. And so I think the tide has shifted. Granted, there's still some hurdles that we have to cross, but that's why I want to continue to have this conversation and to continue to educate our colleagues on why this is beneficial.
Then where's the disconnect? If the Charles Franklin polls show widespread support, and if you're hearing from residents of your district, where's the disconnect with some of your fellow Republicans, members of your party are leading the Assembly and Senate?
There's various reasons why, and again, I respect my colleagues' positions on where they're at, but I think one of the chief concerns that they have is that this is going to lead us down the road to full recreational. And that's why I've been trying to make it emphatically clear that I don't support recreational marijuana, and so I've got a lot of concerns with that. Law enforcement has concerns with that. But let's take recreational off the table, and let's talk about using cannabis as a form of modern medicine. That's the conversation that I want to have, and I think that's what's going to help get us there. And I'm going to continue to do what we have always done in my office when we release legislation that faces some uncertainty, and we don't know if we'll get to the finish line, and that's continue to make the case for it. That's all you can do.
You had a chance to have another Republican who opposes medical marijuana today, and you said you'd rather not do that. Why? Do you not want to split your caucus or what?
Yeah, I mean, I when I had this conversation with Senator Fitzgerald, I said, look, I don't want to put any of our members in an awkward position. You know, I've been very vocal about my position on this, and so I'm not afraid to go out there and stick my neck out online and talk about this because, one, I believe this is an issue that back home my constituents fully support. And in the instances where they don't fully support, I'm going to sit down with them and have the conversation and make the case why where I'm coming from, and I'm going to hear where they're coming from. So for me, you know, we'll see where things shake out. But, yeah, I didn't want to put anyone in a tough spot because, you know, for obvious reasons, but also just to ensure that, you know, we remain on the same page on a lot of issues. I don't want to see this used as a wedge to divide us when there are so many other issues that we're working on currently for this fall session.
Another hypothetical, stay with me. If a medical marijuana bill was on the floor of the Senate next week when you guys are scheduled to be in session, and if it got a straight-up vote, how many votes do you think you'd get, Senator?
I think we'd probably get 14, 15.
14, 15, but that doesn't get it. That doesn't get it past the finish line.
No.
How are you going to stay with this? Because obviously you're passionate about the issue. You believe in it. How are you going to stay with it?
Well, it just takes time. And that's why, again, I'm going to encourage my colleagues to, when constituents call and reach out to them on this issue, to hear them out, hear their stories. And when you take a look, too, I received an email from a friend of mine who's involved with the VFW. And back in 2017, their state board passed a resolution in support of medicinal use. And so it's going to take efforts like that slowly get us to where we need to be. And I know for a lot of folks out there and a lot of the advocates who are very passionate about this issue,
yeah,
there's frustration, and I get it. But on an issue like this, it is going to take some time. And while it can be frustrating, while there are folks out there who need this now, we're going to continue to do what we can for them, but just know that it's going to maybe take a session or two to get to a point where our members are comfortable with it.
To move this ball down the field, how do you dialogue with both the medical society and the law enforcement professionals?
Yeah, so early on the session, we started reaching out to some stakeholders who in the past have not been supportive of this proposal. And right. I said, look, we're going to sit down and we're going to explore options. And so I wanted to make sure, especially as the chair of the Senate Health Committee, that people weren't blindsided. And so we've had very good feedback. Obviously, the Medical Society, their position, at least last time I had a conversation with them, that was earlier in the year, is that they're skeptical that there's just not enough research here in the U.S., and I respect that. So we'll continue to work with them. And as always with any bill, my door is always open. I'll sit down and talk with anyone and hear them out. And on the law enforcement side, we haven't had direct conversations yet, but we'll continue to work with them and make them aware of what we're trying to do here, why we're doing it, and work with them on any concerns that come up and try and address them.
What would be the next victory on this issue in the legislative process, Senator?
I think if we could get the ball rolling within the Assembly, I think that would be a great start.
Okay, two other issues. You're also working on a bill that would align our hemp growing laws with the federal statute. If it doesn't pass, we could technically be out of line. Could you update us on that bill? Is that going to pass this session?
I'm very confident that it will. So it's legislation that we've been working on since the passage.
You and Representative Kurtz.
Yep, as well as Representative Considine and Senator Lena Taylor.
Thank you.
So we've been working on this since December when the 2018 Farm Bill passed at the federal level and signed into law by President Trump. So there are a lot of changes made there, and we want to make sure that our program is in line with the changes at the federal level, and we also want to ensure that our pilot program becomes a permanent program. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if we do nothing, then the feds will be in control of our hemp program. And nothing against Washington, D.C., but I'd rather have our program run here at the state level as opposed to on the East Coast. So we're in a really good spot. We've worked with the stakeholders. We've got law enforcement to sign off on some of the changes that we made. They've registered in neutral of the bill, passed out of the Senate A Committee unanimously, and then it was just heard in the Assembly Committee earlier this week, and I think we're in a good spot. And so our game plan right now is to hopefully have this on the floor next week, and if we can pass it out of our house next week, I believe the Assembly will be in on the 10th, and in the perfect world, we'll have this on the governor's desk by the end of the month.
Okay, follow-up question on this issue. This is the second season for Wisconsin hemp growers. I think the number of people applying to grow and to manufacture, like, doubled.
It's skyrocketed, sixfold.
Sixfold. What are you hearing in terms of, are they having a successful second season growing hemp, or there's still a lot of questions out there?
It depends on who you talk to. So right now, a lot of CBD growers who I've had conversations with said it's been a good year. For the grain side of it, it's been kind of tough. I know Representative Kurtz, when he testified with me in the Assembly A Committee earlier this week, said he had to plow some of his acreage under just because it's been so wet. But overall, I think there's a lot of optimism within the hemp industry. When you go from, in year one, 250 growers to over 1,500, mm-hmm. and 100 processors in year one to over 700, there is a huge appetite for
this. Are they telling you there's a market for their product if it's as long as they can produce it and it's not hit by heavy rains?
Yeah, I think there certainly is a market out there. Right now, there's a lot of interest within the CBD market. Just a couple weeks ago, I was down here for the Hemp It's Fine Expo 2.0, and there must have been 400 to 500 people there, and a lot of it centered around CBD. But as we look forward to the future of this crop, 5-10 years down the road, the grain and cereal markets, I think, are where it's going to be at, as well as the fiber. And that's going to take some time to build up that infrastructure, but I'm excited, and I think a lot of Wisconsin farmers and processors are as well, and there's renewed optimism within our ag industry on this front, and this is an opportunity for us to introduce Wisconsin's comeback crop and have it be the next specialty crop alongside crops like cranberries and potatoes here in the state.
Well, as long as we're talking crops, you've got a few ginseng growers in the 24th Senate District.
Got a couple.
Yeah.
A little bit more north to us, but
I understand, but you've got a few, and have they been crippled by tariffs? What are you hearing from them, just quickly?
It's been tough, but I think a lot of them are holding out and hoping for renewed efforts from the administration to get fair trade deals on the tables with some of our allies around the world.
Okay. And then last subject I want to cover, you had a press conference on the caretaker tax credit. This would apply, eligible would be those providing care to family members, other loved ones. Reasonable to try to get a joint finance hearing on this bill because it's got a big price tag?
Yeah, I would love to have this bill heard. So right now in the state, we have over 587,000 caregivers, home caregivers, who provide upwards of $2 billion in health care costs per year. And about 60% of these individuals pay for it out of pocket. And so this legislation will provide a tax credit for those individuals. Now, initially, we had it at $1,000, and when the fiscal reports came back, the estimates came back, it was a whopping price tag of $179 million.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Not too long ago, DOR came back with an updated fiscal that it would be around $107 million. But then we worked with the stakeholders, primarily AARP, and we kind of sat down and said, look, it's still going to be a tough sell within the caucus, within the legislature. So we pared that down to a $500 tax credit, which drops the fiscal down to about $48, $49 million per year. Okay. But I'm hoping we can get there. We're going to continue to make the case for it because there is such a huge need for it. And I think when you take a look at the potential cost savings within our Medicaid budget, that would free up some additional appropriations as well.
Okay, all these issues that we talked about, where does medical marijuana rank on your list of priorities with all these other things that we've talked about?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of bills out there right now, but this remains a priority for me personally. And so while it still faces long odds within the legislature, primarily within the state Senate, we're going to continue to have conversations about this and see if we can't get some movement. But again, I know it's going to be tough given where a lot of my colleagues are at, but just like we do with any bill that faces, uncertainty, we're going to make the case for it.
Republican Senator Pat Testin represents the 24th District. Thanks for coming in, especially with your compelling personal story.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Senator.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisi.org to make a donation today.